Yes, I love that new intro. I'm still getting used to it, but welcome everybody. Kia ora is the national greeting. Welcome in. Bonsoir. What else what could we think of? Konnichiwa. Just so many languages floating around there. We could pick one. But the one that comes to mind is kia ora. Welcome everybody, dear friends. It's good to see you tonight. Well, we have got a bit of a mind-blowing edition of Major Dicol Last Day Events News tonight. Now, before we get into it, please, may I ask all you responsible, lovely adults out there to just take note that this is an adults-only presentation tonight. The issues that we are dealing with are very, very important. They are not for children's ears and eyes, which emphasises, really, the issue that we're talking about. Because what we're talking about should never, ever, ever be in front of children. And unfortunately, the issues are in front of children. They're going to be more in front of children. And we want you to know what it's about. It's about the World Health Organization. It's about the UN. And it's about the fact that we need to get rid of our membership of the UN and the WHO. I think that's really the easiest way to say it. Now, as usual, I've got housekeeping to do before we bring on my sister from another blister, and that is the wonderful Rima E. Labo, who is, of course, the doctor herself, who was the original whistleblower. We're going to be looking at this information that she has for us tonight, which is, I'm speechless, really. I've got to admit, I'm a bit dishevelled through it. It's horrible, but we need to know about it because it's coming our way, that's for sure. All right, so what I want to do, I'm just going to share some things with you guys immediately. Remember last night we were talking about Little Fletcher's walking wish? This is Little Fletcher here. He has multiple sclerosis, and we want him to be able to not need those support little walker there that he's got there. We really want him to not have to use that. So he is planning to go to the US at the end of the year, and with his mummy and daddy, and he's going to get some special treatment that is going to help him be able to walk. So I am just praying that you will go to his Give a Little page and that you will help Little Fletcher have that opportunity to walk. All right, because all little children deserve that, don't they? So if you could do that, that would be wonderful. And that's really important, which, you know, this is a little boy here that we want to see happy and healthy. Like, we want to see all children. And yet, you know what, I found an old article today. I'm kind of jumping the queue here. But I found an old article here, which I wasn't going to go into, but I just looking at a little boy like that reminds me of this article. Now, this is an old article, but this is one where New Zealand Prime Minister... Oh, what's happened here? What's happened there? They always want to... There we go. Let's just get rid of that. This is from Jacinda Ardern about her voting, that she voted... This is on the 10th of March 2020, as you can see there. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern votes against amendment requiring medical help for babies born alive after failed abortions. Can you believe that? Now, I could not, I'm sorry, but I could not live in my skin knowing that I voted against something like that or voted for any law that would terminate babies, especially babies that are ready to be born. They've just about completed or have completed their terms. So that's the mentality of the people that we're dealing with, and it's important that we know that, because in light of what we're talking about tonight, that is really important. All right, so I kind of jumped the queue again, but that's all right. Anyway, I want to remind you that this week, of course, we have got this Learn to Live Your Life Online Again with Zero Fear. Now, I am really looking forward to this. Why? Because this is my mate, Glenn Meader, who you met last week. He's an amazing man. He is a digital privacy, online privacy expert, and he is going to donate a free webinar. He's based in the United States, as you know. He is going to donate a free webinar for all New Zealanders to come into this webinar this Wednesday at 12 p.m. our time. And he said, look, Billy, tell your audiences that instead of paying to come to this webinar, that they donate to you to help you pay your legal fees. So I was like, yes, thank you so much, but I'm going to be at this myself, because we all need to deal with that. That's the webinar registration page, and I'll put the link in there for you, but don't miss out on this. This is a real opportunity, and it's free, and I think it's going to help everyone. All right, don't also forget that we've got the Vinny and Billy petition going, and yes, people are right. Petitions themselves don't necessarily are going to get people to change laws and that. They might do, but this is about signaling to New Zealanders and to the judiciary that what they're doing to trying to do to myself and Vinny is just horrible. It's not right. It's unlawful, and it's awful as well as that. Okay, so I'm going to jump ahead to this. If you would like me, can you believe I've only got a bank account at ANZ after being a customer of theirs for many years, that they're closing down my bank accounts next week? I've only got two bank accounts there with no money in them. But anyway, compared to what I used to have once upon a time. But there's a need to raise money because I've got money to go out for my legal fees. Now, some of you, you know, I really want to convey how hard it is for me to ask for support like this. But, you know, I've fought for everybody. I've put myself on the line, my whānau, my family on the line. And it's for all of us. It's for your babies, my babies, all of our babies, you guys, all of us, that I fought this fight. And if you can help me defend myself from harm from the government, the way to do that this week anyway is to help me pay my legal bills to these lawyers that are going to protect me from, hopefully, from harm. So this is the account to do it. It's live until the 26th of May, and then after that I'm gonna have to come up with something else. All right, so I would be very, very grateful if you could donate to this. All right, family, I have got some exciting things to share with you tonight. I really do. And one of them, of course, is my dear mate, Rima E. Labo, because she's really someone that's become a dear friend of mine. And I remember seeing her in 2009. And who is this freaky chick of a doctor that's telling us there is a coming catastrophe? And she was right, 100% right. Blows me away every time I look at that. And this is Rima, Dr. Rima. She was on the Alex Jones show a couple of weeks back. Let's just have a look at this and a reminder ourselves who this lady is.
Ongoing question, Alex, that any reasonable person has to be asking. How is this possible? How can every single nation in the world, 196 nation states, how can every single one of them sign on to destroying their people, to giving up their sovereignty, to eliminating any kind of personal informed consent? How can any country do that? And how is it that everyone is doing that?
And I think that's the question, isn't it? How is it possible that that all of these countries in lockstep are doing this together? Is it a plan? I don't know. I mean, I want you to put your thoughts in the chat. Is it a plan? I reckon it is. And to help me to talk about this and a most important topic for you parents out there and grandparents and aunties and uncles, big brothers and sisters, that we've got an important issue to share with you about the WHO and another reason why we need to get out of it. Help me to do that is my dear friend Rima Labo. Hey sister, welcome to the show tonight. Thank you for coming on at the last minute. Thank you. This is an important topic we're going to cover tonight. Oh, I think you're on mute, my dear. I think I've got you on mute. And everybody's
saying, how's that? Can you hear me now?
That's beautiful. And everyone's saying hello, okay. By the way.
So it's always a pleasure to be here. And thank you for responding when I shared this information with you. You asked me to come on tonight because it is so urgently important that we share this. And I appreciate that very much, Billy.
Dr. Rima, you and I have been talking to each other for a little while now, and we have been watching the development of the Global Pandemic Treaty, Preparedness Treaty. We've been watching the fiddling of an attempted fiddling of the international health regulations. You were just talking about the fact that the member states of the World Health Organization are in lockstep signing on to these programs. Can you, in the most succinct way, explain to New Zealanders that are watching this right now why we need to get out of the World Health Organization?
The World Health Organization is a death system. It works for and in conjunction with the United Nations, which is a one world government totalitarian monstrosity. It was founded to be that. It has been moving forward successfully to be that. It has nothing to do with peace. It has nothing to do with freedom. It has always been an organ of global suppression. And the World Health Organization, UNESCO, UNICEF, and all the other subsidiary organizations, the Food and Agriculture Organization, all of these subsidiary independent organizations serve the totalitarian system that the one world government is designed to be. The front runner in the badness that WHO is and has always been is the front runner in this suppression is WHO. But one of the things that I grew up with, and probably you grew up with as well, was this shining veneer that UNESCO had and WHO had and all the other organizations and the United Nations itself. They were given to us as if they were precious jewels that humanity needed. And so it's very, very important for people to put that aside. That's all carefully orchestrated and purchased high-level propaganda that we've all been exposed to, and take your eyes and your ears and your reasoning powers that you still have and look carefully at what's going on. Let's start with the fact that I am a child and adolescent psychiatrist. I'm trained as a psychoanalyst. And so with that background, I know a good deal about psychosexual development. I know about what makes people healthy, happy, functional adults, and what destroys people's abilities to love and to connect and to be responsible members of society and good parents. Unfortunately, one of the things that really disturbs those abilities, that damages people from the psychological level to the neurological level to the physiological level to the reproductive level, is child abuse. That's why we protect children. That's why every single person on the planet who is not themselves a child abuser is wired to protect children. Your children, my children, neighbor's children. We're a communal species that has the instinct to protect children. We have families that are designed to protect children. Doesn't always go so well, but that's the plan. Well, right. WHO, I'm sorry.
No. You're dead right. And to underline the point that you're mentioning there, when I was in the police, I dealt with a drowned infant, and I've never gotten over that. And even to this day, when I go to pools, when I go to the beach, when I'm around water, and I see children, I am looking at. After all of the children in my mind, I'm sitting there and I'm just watching kids in water. Now, Dr. Remo, before we show this very, very disturbing clip, I want to remind people again, please, if you have any children nearby your screen as you're watching this broadcast tonight, please invite them to leave the room. This is not for their eyes and ears yet. What we're dealing with is the truth. These are articles. These are things that cannot be gainsaid. Explain in the most succinct way, what are we about to look at, sister?
All right. So to finish up the thought that I was developing there, Billy, WHO is committed to the destruction of everything that we value as human beings, including the family. This is part of the Rockefeller plan that goes back 140 years that we've talked about. The destruction of the family is essential, but so is the destruction of the ability of human beings to bond with one another, to connect with one another, to love one another. And that is explicitly laid out in their programming as a way of reducing the number of children that people have, because when you don't bond, you're not as likely to reproduce. This is a population destruction and a population reduction program that they're calling sexualization education, sexuality education. Let me be very clear. This is not sex education. Sex education is fact-based. This is a vagina, this is a penis, this is how you get pregnant, this is how you stay safe. Those are fact-based curricula, and they're often very useful for people as they're growing up and they get correct information. But the values-based information about what sexuality should be, what families are about, how boys and girls should behave, what sexual maturation means, and so on. Those values have to come from the family, and they have to come from the community, and they have to come from the church or the religious organization. They're part of a culture. WHO and the United Nations have together decided that they know better than you do about sexuality for your children, sexualization for your children. They know better than you do whether your children should be protected from pedophiles. And so they are going to create a comprehensive curriculum in every school on the planet and teach every child on the planet everything they need to know about sexuality, starting at age two, starting at age two, and incorporating mathematics and sociology and physics and biology and everything else into this core curriculum of sexualizing children prematurely and teaching them how to abuse each other and how to accept the abuse of adults. Because part of this program, Billy, is to normalize and legalize pedophilia.
Of course,
and what they've done is taken the concept of rights, human rights, and toxified that and made it the quote human right of every child to be as sexual as possible all the time. Quote, teaching lust to 4-year-old children.
Yep.
Teaching lust to 4-year-old children and teaching them that every kind of sexuality is acceptable all the time.
Yep.
Damaging children's ability to know themselves and to know how and to learn how to engage in loving relationships.
Right.
This is vile in a way that I have never even imagined people would engage in.
Well, again, thank you for that, sister. Again, I want to just say before I hit the play button on this article we are going to share with you, please ensure that there are no children nearby, and please do be aware that the topics here are graphic and horrifying, but do know one thing. This is what is aimed at our families here in New Zealand. Let's have a look at this, and around the world, of course. Let's go.
This is definitely an attack. It will affect your child rearing. It will affect your education system.
This is instructions for the teacher in the classroom to ask her or his students, how do people express their sexual feelings? What is abstinence? And here are some answers. Oral sex, masturbation, anal sex, massage, holding hands, touching each other's genitals, saying, I like you. And what they're doing is equating all these things. Saying, I like you is equal to anal sex.
It is pornography. Men, especially on the house floor, did not want to look at. We couldn't show this on the television news, but yet we want our fourth grade children to be looking at this book.
In the name of sexuality education, children are seeing obscene materials that have been ruled by Congress and by the Supreme Court impossible to show to children.
An online CSE program for African youth called The World Starts With Me tells children that sexuality includes oral sex and masturbation. It then tells them it's their own choice if they want to lose their virginity. It shows children pictures of naked girls and boys in various stages of development, and then asks them to point out differences in their private parts. Parents likely will never know, as it is all done online away from home.
They have elementary students as young as 9 years old. Then they teach them how to wear a condom. And they have this plastic genitalia, and they even have young girls. They're teaching them how to put a condom on a male genitalia and boys how to put a condom on a woman's genitalia without the knowledge and consent of the parents.
They're giving them handouts, negotiating sexual encounters with other students. For example, there are statements like this. Can I take your shirt off? It makes me hot when you touch me here. Is it okay if I take my pants off?
Where we in Latin America, we still have a lot of poverty. We have communities that don't have fresh water, that don't have electricity. Focus is completely shifted from basic needs. They get comprehensive sexual education without the consent of parents, taking and deconstructing the family.
My brother Luigi and I had an opportunity to go to the United Nations and give a speech on the UN floor. I told them how Planned Parenthood was passing out a booklet for HIV-positive youth at the United Nations called Healthy, Happy, and Hot. This is for the kids who have AIDS. It teaches about sexual pleasure through masturbation with same-sex partners and even if you are drunk.
This pamphlet called Healthy, Happy, and Hot tells young people that you have the right not to disclose your HIV status to a sexual partner if you're not comfortable. It also tells young people that are HIV positive that if they decide with their partner not to wear a condom, that's their decision.
The World Health Organization standards for sexuality education in Europe actually suggest that children ages 0 to 4 should be given information about masturbation and given the right to explore their gender identity. For ages 4 to 6, children should be taught about same-sex relationships and respect for different norms regarding sexuality.
The interests of organizations like UNFPA and IPPF is to get parents out of the picture and to radicalize and sexualize children.
UNFPA has tried to convince my country to change our positions on issues such as reproductive rights and comprehensive sexuality education. Madam Chair, does the UNFPA think it can do this because Nauru is the smallest member state of the United Nations?
The Nigerian government was actually told by the Western countries that if they do not give in, that they will be denied foreign aid.
On page 89 of a UNICEF-published Sexual and Reproductive Health Manual, UNICEF listed situations in which one can obtain sexual pleasure that included sexual responses directed towards inanimate objects, animals, minors, and non-consenting persons.
In the context of the Sustainable Development Goals, that determines the agenda for the next 15 years. The voice is very, very biased. It's just International Planned Parenthood Federation and their affiliates. They have a direct influence on the outcome documents, on what is established, what is negotiated at the UN.
Some of the objectives of the UNESCO Sexuality Education Guidelines include teaching children at age 9 about sexual stimulation and the definition and function of orgasm, and at age 15, that both men and women can receive sexual pleasure with a partner of the same or opposite sex. The It's All One curriculum, also promoted by International Planned Parenthood, reveals the multiple manipulative tactics used to indoctrinate and sexualize children through CSE. Like other CSE programs, It's All One claims, among other things, to be evidence-based, comprehensive, human rights, gender-sensitive, and culturally appropriate education that will increase young people's responsible decision-making to reduce adolescent rates of pregnancy and sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's All One, however, like most CSE programs, is really just cleverly disguised abortion rights sexual pleasure education masquerading as human rights, gender, and sexual and reproductive health education. It aggressively promotes abortion with over 112 references to abortion. It's All One has an obsessive focus on sexual pleasure, mentioning sexual pleasure 62 times. It promotes multiple sex acts and instructs children on how to stimulate themselves or their partner to orgasm. To explore their readiness, children fill out a worksheet that infers, children are ready to have sex when you are feeling sexually attracted to the other person, and when you're feeling comfortable about telling the other person what feels good sexually. It teaches that human rights encompass sexual rights, including alleged rights to all persons to sexual expression and the right to seek sexual pleasure. Hooking children on sex is a multi-billion dollar business for Planned Parenthood and other similar organizations.
All right, I think we've kind of seen enough. There's only a couple of minutes left on that, but I think we kind of get the drift there. Dr. Rima, just looking at the chat conversation about this is a nightmare. This is horrific. And if people watching this are thinking, well, it can't happen in New Zealand, it already is happening in New Zealand.
Correct.
Take over for a second, Dr. Rima. You're the clinical psychologist. You specialise in young
psychiatrists.
You specialise with helping young people as well. What are we seeing here? Are we seeing grooming for the acceptance of minor attracted persons? Are we seeing the normalisation of all these abnormal sexual habits? Are we seeing the grooming and the preparation for little kids to say, look, this adult has just said to me he'll give me some lollies if I do this to him, and I want the lollies, and I'm saying I'm okay with that because I've just been educated that this is okay.
Well, let me answer your question by saying yes, and that's not the worst of it. Yes to each of those things. Yes to the premature sexualization of children. Yes to the inappropriate inclusion of sexualization in every aspect of school and social life. And yes to the pushing out of parents from the central core of where children learn and what they learn, because in their documentation, the WHO and UNESCO and UN documents all say that they have decided that they know what is good for children in terms of sexualization and sexual activity, regardless of what the parents or the community want. So this is part of the takeover. But to me, as a child psychiatrist, child an adolescent psychiatrist, what's going on here is even more terrible than all of those terrible things, because we know that if you prematurely sexualize children, whether it's homosexuality or heterosexuality, it doesn't matter. If it's prematurely sexualizing children, what happens is that their ability to bond, their ability to love, not just to have sexual pleasure, that's not real hard, but their ability to commit to relationships that are meaningful and ongoing and have durability and resilience, those capacities are stunted, damaged, destroyed in most cases. And so what you have is people who are hedonistically looking for one high after another sexually or otherwise, but who
cannot form solid, stable, deep relationships. And those people, according to the Rutgers Foundation, which is part of the theoretical framework of this evil, those people then do not reproduce. So this is all part of control of the population and depopulation, the reduction of the reproduction rate. Because if you damage people's ability to love one another, not just have sexual contact with one another, you will damage their ability to decide to reproduce. This is all about enslavement, population reduction, and absolute total control. And let me point out that in the context of all of this, 2 weeks ago, give or take a day or two, the United Nations declared that pedophilia is a normal human state. That means that this education is part of the normalization of people, adults, who get to rape children without it being a crime. And yes, this is happening in New Zealand. What has to happen is that parents and non-parents, because you don't have to be a parent to care about the welfare of children and the welfare of your society. Parents and non-parents have to say not only no, but hell no, and they have to understand that as long as New Zealand remains in the United Nations, as long as New Zealand remains in the World Health Organization and the other ancillary organizations, this will go on. The only way to stop this is to say, no, I want my country out of these deadly, damaging, death-dealing organizations. There is no other option, because as long as New Zealand is part of these organizations, they will have the right to impose this on every single child. And you think it's only children? The adults are under their control just as well. This is death-dealing. And the people of New Zealand have to say, not only am I going to protect my kid, but I'm going to protect my country.
Hear, hear. You know, one of the things that that has been a source of frustration for me has been the fact that New Zealanders, most of New Zealand has slept through the last 3 years and just thought it was a dream. They've woken up from it without waking up, and you know, suddenly you hear the United Nations say, well, you know, the WHO announced that the COVID-19 pandemic is over. You see the Biden administration say that, in fact, on May 11, which was the other day, is the official day that the pandemic is over and done with. And but it's not the end of it. You know about, just like I do, you're the expert on the IHRs, International Health Regulation. And I've been directing as many people as I can to your PreventGenocide2030.org website. See, I don't even need to think about it. I know it off by heart. And because we need to know that in the link in the chain of tyranny is the WHO. Next to it is its parent link, which is the UN. And these people are bent, and I say bent in all that sort of means, bent, twisted, towards one thing, and that is to reduce us all into mindless serfs that can't think, and then taking the ability of humans to feel, to understand the sacred nature of sexuality, etc. You know, it was a gift. There was a gift to mankind that God gave us, and we can make children out of it, and it's beautiful, and all that, all those wonderful blessings out of it. But this, you know, for me, you know, if we have politicians in New Zealand that aren't morally compassed or morally solid, that when they see something like this, they're not prepared to stand up at the cost of their party affiliation, if they're not prepared to stand up and say no to this, no to what we've seen the last 3 years as well, then am I stretching it too far to say that they're complicit in some way to all of this, Dr. Rima?
Stretching it too far, these are murderers. And I must take exception to something you said, Billy.
Okay.
You said the point and purpose of the United Nations and WHO is to basically enslave and control all of us. The reason I take exception with that is their first point and purpose is to kill most of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And those few who are permitted to remain alive, those compliant persons who no longer argue, who no longer raise an eyebrow at the irrational, hideous, evil things that they do. And I can tell you some of the more awful things that are about to happen to all of us if we allow this to happen beyond what we're looking at now. Those few who are permitted to remain alive will have no individual independence. Their genetic matrix will be owned. They will be fused with the Internet of Things. Their very brains, their nervous systems will be integrated into an AI nightmare of total control, owning nothing, being happy, living in a 16 square meter space for your entire life, eating what you are told to eat, going where you are told to go, doing what you are told to do, and thinking what you are told to think as a transhumanized slave at a level that no slave has ever been controlled before. That's what these politicians, these scum, are complicit with. That's what the plan is for. And if anyone thinks that this is overstated, overblown, they have merely to read what it is that the G20 leaders agreed to, and Jacinda Ardern was one of them, now you've got another one, they're all the same, what they agreed to at the G20 meeting in Bali, where they say using the international health regulations, which will be adopted, the amendments which will be adopted at the end of May at the World Health Assembly, we're going to take over every aspect of life from preconception through end of life, and we're going to control it completely. And this dehumanization of children's ability to love, and this ramping up of sexualization to destroy their psychosexual development as it's come to be over millions of years, that's all part of this program for total domination and control. Anyone who thinks that this doesn't touch them is a sorry excuse for a citizen, because they're not taking this as seriously as they need to. Their lives and the entire future of humanity is literally at stake. Prevent Genocide 2030 is a place where documents are available, videos, articles are available, and actions are available. Because there's only one thing that's going to save New Zealand and any other country in the world, and that is a roar of outrage saying, get us out of this organization, to force the politicians to do that. Of course, hear, hear. They're complicit.
Hear, hear. Of course they are. And one of the most, you know, disturbing thing for us in New Zealand, Sister Rima, is that around the world you see good politicians everywhere that are prepared to stand up and talk about this stuff. In Australia, we have multiple politicians over there that are prepared to stand up and talk about COVID crime. They're prepared to take on the federal government, the big pharma, all those things, and to speak about these gross abuses that we're seeing. But not one New Zealand MP is prepared to do this. Now, this used to be a country that used to speak up and defend good things, Sister Rima. We used to be a beautiful country. but something's happened, and it's so deeply, deeply, deeply heartbreaking, but we can change it, because all the good people that are going to watch this and are watching this now are going to get motivated, and we are going to deal with this. Now, I want to change pace now, and I'm going to show you a couple of things, and let's have a look at this. I found this quite intriguing, this statement.
Is that message to you, the unvaccinated? Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors. People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity. They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having. They are beings above the average of their societies. They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion. And they did it because they thought they were alone. And they believed that, well, they were the only ones. Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel. They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money, but they didn't care. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible arc, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice, and it's time to make it count.
I like that. I truly,
Very impressive.
I really did like that. Now I'm going to show you another one. This is a mate of mine from Australia. This is Ricardo Bossi here.
Can I, let me say for a moment. I had an idea listening to that last video that I want to share with you after you show us what you want to show us. But remind me to not skip over it because I think it's useful. Go ahead.
You can mention it now. Go on. We can hold on that.
Why not have a New Zealand town hall, an electronic town hall? Sorry, my dogs are speaking. Why not have a New Zealand town hall with the topic of how do we save New Zealand? Can you hear me? The dogs are very, very loud, but can you hear me through them?
Yep.
Okay. Why not have an electronic problem-solving program together with all the people that want to participate to brainstorm how you're going to force your political slugs to act on your behalf, because that is what it will take.
Here. You know, again, we've got a lot of minor political parties right now that are trying to get into parliament, fighting in the from the freedom space, and they're just not picking up on these issues in the right way. They're just not. But anyway, have a look at this. This is my mate Ricardo Bossi, and this is a chance to have a little bit of a laugh. Have a look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ricardo Bossi, National Leader of Australia One. Today is Monday, the 25th of October, 2021, and today I was required to appear before the Magistrates Court of South Australia on a charge for refusing to comply with the direction, failure to wear a mask, which happened on the 10th of April when I visited Adelaide. I arrived at Adelaide Airport, without a mask, and I was charged $1,000 for the pleasure. Today was the magistrate's hearing. It was done by telephone since I am in Sydney. The magistrate asked me what I wanted to do. I told him that I would be reading a prepared statement. It would be recorded, and then I would hang up. I started reading the statement, which you'll hear shortly, and has been distributed. At a couple of points during the statement, the magistrate attempted to speak, but I continued making my statement, and eventually he hung up. I continued reading the statement to its conclusion. So, thank you very much for your time. Please enjoy. Note that the first couple of seconds weren't recorded, so you'll come in shortly after I actually began. We'll see you at the end. Cheers. I seek no determination of guilt nor innocence from you. I seek nothing from you because you have nothing to bestow upon me. I acknowledge no claim to any authority you might make. You have no standing. You are at worst a traitor and at best an imbecile, the truth of which will be determined in due course when you will experience the law from the other side of the bar table at the hands of the people. But you will not be alone. Your learned friends, even from the highest places, will also be obliged to answer for their words and their deeds. None shall escape judgment, and the guilty shall not escape punishment. We know not yet whether you have sworn secret oaths. We know not yet whether you have committed other crimes. But soon we will know all these things and more, because there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known and brought to light. Nothing. But it matters little whether or not you are guilty in law, because at the very least, you have by your craven obsequiousness facilitated the brutal destruction of countless innocent people. There is no defense against this moral charge that will stand. Your blind and soulless obedience to your masters, who have visited upon the Australian people the most egregious perversions of decency and depravity, disqualifies you from any further role in the governance of this nation. You and the entire profession of the law have forfeited any right to my esteem, my deference, and my obedience. I will not submit myself to any man or woman, nor any class of man or woman who, by their action and inaction, have eschewed plain decency and good sense, and instead contributed to the most barbaric and purely evil betrayal of the people of the world. By what authority do I speak these words? By the authority that I'm a sovereign being. My life is my life. My liberty is my liberty. My property is my property. And so long as I do not do injury to another's life, liberty, and property, none may interfere with mine. I am my own authority, and you will submit to me just as you will submit to other millions of sovereign Australians. We are the only source of lawful authority in this land. Now, before I dismiss you, there is one final issue to be addressed. Only 6 days remain for you to join with the people against the tyranny of which you are part. If you do not, may God have mercy on your soul in the next life, because we the people will have no mercy on the guilty in this one. Consider this carefully. Now, for the time being, at least I am done with you, so be gone.
So that's my mate Ricardo Bosi. He is the he is a former Special Forces commander in the Australian Defence Force, and I wanted to have him speak after that heroic speech we just listened to a few minutes ago, because he kind of pulls it all together for me in a funny way. What do you make of that speech, by the way, those two speeches?
Well, the first speech was absolutely
epic,
heartwarming, and very, very, very moving, and I thought it was just beautifully articulated. Your mate has reached another level of exquisite communication, because I believe that if he's standing on the principle of natural law and refusing to understand, to stand under the authority of the judicial system, of the government, and if he can pull that off, that is of incredible importance. The fact that the magistrate hung up tells us that he is probably standing on solid ground, and that's something that I think needs to be understood in very, very, very careful terms, because if that's true in Australia, it may also be similarly true in New Zealand and may be part of the solution to your problem. I'm not sure, because natural law is very, very tricky to properly bring forward. But the magistrate hung up. In other words, he accepted the lack of jurisdiction that was presented to him. That's very interesting.
Alrighty, now I'm going to finish off the show with something very, very positive. I'm going to play trailer number 5, the last trailer of a series of trailers that are leading up to episode 1 of the documentary The River of Lies, a New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary. And of course, you're a star in this as well. So I played this last night, but it was only a rough, and we've pretty much got it sorted now. So let's have a listen of this, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
The truth is coming. Today is May 9th, 2023. In August last year, I knew that the harm caused by the New Zealand government's COVID-19 response had to be fully researched, documented, and reported. But what emerged was the need to investigate the behaviour of politicians, medical bureaucrats, academia, and New Zealand media, which might explain how such massive harm could be caused. The River of Lies, a New Zealand Scandemic investigative documentary, started in September, and it has been a long journey and a much bigger one than I could have anticipated.
This government does not care for New Zealand and its citizens at all. I mean, you cannot tell me that Jacinda gives a rat's tail about any of us. I mean, look at how many suicides have happened over the last 2 years. But oh no, hang on, let's just rewrite how we classify suicides. Oh look, it's dropped.
What we're seeing on Channel 1, Channel 3, New Zealand Herald, Stuff Media, it's all been bought and paid for. You know, these media companies, you didn't get part of a $50 million grant, did you, Billy?
We've also seen the spread of misinformation on COVID-19, particularly through social media. We had to act, so we made it a priority to establish a public interest journalism fund to help our media continue to produce stories that keep New Zealanders informed.
I know with the mandates, there were a lot of people who lost their jobs. It was a no jab, no job situation. So a lot of employees and a lot of businesses closed. Personally, I have two friends who own restaurants, very, very top restaurants in New Zealand, lost everything, lost their whole life. And as a consequence, lost their life as well. Literally, they took their own life.
We had kids in here that couldn't have the vaccine. You know, it wasn't just an issue about they didn't want it, they couldn't have it. And they were kicked out of their networks, from sport to, you know, their friends to everything. You know, I mean, these kids are 12, 13 years old, which is just unbelievable that you'd expose a kid at that age, where they're finding who they are and their identity in life, and that you'd expose them to that sort of trauma is just unbelievable from the government. But that's what we were dealing with. We were dealing with these kids that were suicidal, very bad depression, and their parents were coming in here and saying, if you close, I don't know if my kid's going to make it.
I was what they call vaccine hesitant. I really wasn't going to have it, but they made it to the point where there was just no way not to, for me personally. She got up there and said that, you know, no concerts, no summer, you know, and I had concert tickets from 2020, hundreds of dollars worth of concert tickets, that I wasn't going to get any refund on. But the real issue I had was on day 4, which was about 90 hours after I'd had the injection, I turned over in bed, and it was just explosions of pain throughout my body, excruciating pain. I was in tears and crying out in pain. My muscles wow. felt like I'd run a marathon on no training. It was just literally the worst pain of my entire life.
What we haven't covered in this documentary is shocking, angering, and heart-shattering, but leaves us with important questions that need to be answered. How do we hold those responsible accountable for their actions? And can we and should we ever trust the New Zealand government again? This documentary plays a major part in answering these questions. We've recorded over 1,800 minutes of interviews, and we now intend to release not one, but three documentary episodes, because what we have captured is far too important not to share. We are now in the editing phase and can see the light at the end of the tunnel for releasing the first episode. In this documentary, you will hear expert testimonies from scientists and doctors, and also the testimonies of those who've been harmed by the New Zealand government.
I know enough about infectious diseases. I'm not a vaccinologist, but I have a good understanding of immunology. So I knew this was nonsense. You don't quarantine the healthy. I knew in a heartbeat we were in so much trouble, because never before had the whole Western world done the same thing in lockstep. Over the next few weeks, say all the countries I could find information at were imposing the same nonsense but damaging measures.
This is some of the most brilliant, well-orchestrated, and massively funded pack of lies that humanity has ever seen.
This was arbitrary and capricious. It's not science-based, and it led to one of the greatest abuses of power by governments in modern history.
Ironically, as we edit the first episode and during the past week, we've seen the World Health Organization and US government announce that the COVID pandemic is over. The US government even said that May 11 is the official date the COVID-19 pandemic ends. Yet the harms caused by governments and pharmaceutical companies over the last 3 years, with their hysterical approach to capturing the opportunities of a pandemic, are still with us. This past March 2023, I was sentenced to 5 months prison for a small, peaceful protest in 2021 against lockdown harm, for which I am on bail and under appeal. Yet we now have New Zealand mainstream media reporting what we always knew, that COVID-19 for most New Zealanders is the equivalent of the flu. The importance of this documentary cannot be underestimated, and with your support, we will get the truth out there. Please go to our website, riveroflives.co.nz, and sign up to our blog and donate to help us finish this most important project. Thank you as ever for your time, and please keep the peace in your spirit and seek the Lord for his care. But do rest assured, the truth is coming.
And there you have it. There's a bit of a lag going through the OBS system, but you kind of get the drift. It's a beautiful, it's just the trailer, but man, I'm so excited. I'm like a little kid, Rima. I'm like a little kid. I want Christmas now, but we've got everything lined up. We've got a big couple of weeks, and then episode one is going to come out. And it's three episodes now. You will be in each of those. And I just can't wait, sister, because
I'm very excited by how close you are to having it available. I think, Billy, that calling on the wisdom of the people who are concerned about this, of your audience, and asking them to come together and create a plan to force your politicians to do the will of the people and reverse the complete betrayal that they have undertaken is really, really important. And I think you can lead that. You are indeed a natural leader. People trust you. They know you. They revere you. I certainly do. And so I think that you have the opportunity to precipitate that collective wisdom and help people find a way to literally peacefully force the government to actually protect rather than destroy the country.
Absolutely. And we've seen such rampant destruction like we couldn't have imagined. I mean, just a short 4 years ago, you know, it was a different, completely different planet. It really, really was. Okay, we know that all these plans have been buried behind closed doors, and I've been aware of the UN for a long, long time and their plans, and I saw you in 2009 with the information that you shared with us. But we are seeing the fast and rapid rollout of this agenda, and I'm going to say it again to emphasize my point. The thing that, you know, that there's a couple of things that disappoint me about politics in New Zealand, because the politicians that are in Parliament are not saying anything about this stuff, and they're at all. But even the so-called freedom political parties that are trying to get in, they're not dealing with this stuff at the root core of the issues. You know, the problem is that our system is corrupt to the core, and really the tokenism needs to be brushed aside, and we need to actually figure out what is it that's going to get the job done of protecting our babies, our children. Now, as a Christian, I believe that there's a plan in the Bible, and I believe it. I've studied just about everything else to do with these topics, and to me, the Bible has the most consistent sense of sensible logic that I can find. But if we want to slow things down in terms of tyranny in New Zealand, we can do it. We're less than 5 million people. We, you know, what have 12? We're 1,200 kilometers or something like that. Is it something like that? Maybe 1,300 kilometers long, and a couple of hundred kilometers wide. We're not a big country. We can do this, and you're right. We need to get out there, propagate the truth. But number one takeaway message out of tonight is that we've got to protect the kids, and the only way that we're going to do it is get us out of the UN and the WHO. We've got to do that. And, yes. And you know, that's got to be a starting point as we take this road to speak the truth. And unfortunately, it takes courage. It does present a risk. But like that man said in that beautiful speech, you know, people who speak up are the special force warriors of today. You know, because at great cost, we've stood up. You've stood up. You've had attempts on your life, several of them, and the most recent one about October last year. And
well, my husband was murdered.
Exactly.
So yeah. I know very well how expensive this is.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's no excuse for stopping. Really, it's just a confirmation of the fact that what we're doing is important.
Absolutely, and what I always say to people is that we need to take a cool, calm approach dealing with this, because acting like nut jobs is not going to do it. It's not going to protect us. It won't protect our babies, our children, and it certainly won't stop unelected bureaucrats in shifting the paperwork to bring these things in and make them come to life in all these jurisdictions around the world. Because one of the things that we blame the politicians, and yes, of course they are the blame, but it's the unelected bureaucrats that are selling these agendae to the politicians, and some of them are getting the wool pulled over their eyes, and they're allowing these bureaucrats to bring these things in. There is not a council in New Zealand that is not a part of Agenda 2030 and the
Absolutely.
And the Rockefeller Absolutely. Resilient Cities Program. Not one.
one of the things that I am aware of is that the bad guys have overplayed their hand by bringing the sexuality education, which is different from sex education, the sexuality education forward at this time. What they've done is given us the tool to say, okay, if you're a sane person, then you now understand that only destruction can result from staying in this system. And therefore, anybody who is not themselves a pedophile will understand that we have to leave these deadly institutions. Do you have a referendum procedure in your country so that you can either dissolve the government and start again, or take the decision out of the hands of Parliament and put it into the hands of the people through a referendum process?
No, we do have referendum, but they're non-binding. So it's a non-binding system whereby it's essentially a petition, a non-binding petition.
Okay, so that's not the approach.
Nope. Unfortunately, it's not. But as my friend Ricardo Bosi was saying earlier, my good friend Ricardo, he was saying it's easy for politicians to ignore 10,000 people. It's easy for politicians to ignore 50,000 people. But it ain't easy to ignore 1 million people on the steps of Parliament, because that's what it's going to take.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's
which is
right.
Why Prevent Genocide 2030 exists, so that people can use their freedom mouse to say to politicians, you will follow my demands. You will follow the demands of 1 million people, of 5 million people. You will do that because you have no choice.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Absolutely. All right, my sister, I have kept you for a lot longer than I said I would. It's late over in your neck of the woods. It's after midnight there. Thank you so, so much for joining us. People love you. I'm just looking at all the chats here, comments, and they do, and so do I. Just hold on a second as I do my closing address. Be right back with you. Hold on a second there. That was our sister, and, you know, it's almost like... You want to call her like a warrior queen, don't you? Something like that, you know. Almost want to get her on to, what was that show, Xena? Was that what it was? Xena, Warrior Prince? You got to get her. She could be like the queenly type older warrior princess there. That would make sense. But truly, it was a great honor to have her on with me tonight. And I just want to say to everybody, you know, we do have to activate. We do need to send letters to the Ministry of Education. We need to send letters to schools and say absolutely no way. There needs to be a concerted effort to say to politicians that if this is the World Health Organization, if this is what the rubbish that they're putting out, we, the good people of New Zealand, want nothing to do with it. You don't have to be a Christian to feel like this. You don't. You just have to be a decent human soul. I mean, it's not left or right. And I mean, I can't imagine a lefty wanting to go along with us. Can you? Are you a lefty watching this? Are you gonna? How would you like it if some old, dirty old man came up to your 3-year-old daughter or son and said, you know, look, it's okay, let's just touch me here. You know, I mean, can anyone agree with this? It's sick, it's disgusting, it's satanic, it really is. And again, I'm going to say it, in the book of Luke, chapter 17, the Lord says it himself, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Sodom and Gomorrah was a sexual society. It was a homosexual society that not only was homosexual, but it said that they went after strange flesh, which is essentially bestiality. And so he warned us. He said, it's going to happen again just before I come. And this is one of the milestone signposts that's going to tell you that the end is near. And I believe we are seeing that, guys. I really do, in my heart of hearts. I just want to remind you as well, before I do say goodbye to you, that if you'd like to reach out to me and be in contact with me, there you go, I've just got that ready to go there. Gee, I'm being onto it tonight. Is you are most welcome to contact me at billy@ibc.com. www.bibletracker.net.nz. If you'd like to join my weekly Bible studies, if you would like to receive some beautiful free reading material, please let me know by emailing me here, and I'll be sure to send you some beautiful reading material, and also welcome you to our weekly Bible study group, which is getting new people all the time join. So you are more than welcome. All right, family, please hit the share button. And remember, through all of this, don't let hate take over. Don't let our anger confuse us and turn us into something that we don't recognize. Let the love flow. Let's seek the guidance and the love of the Lord and the peace of the Lord to be in us. And let's be better than that which we see in this awful world at the moment. All right, family, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm going to go say goodbye to my sister or our sister, Rima. Take care, everyone. I will see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock for Talk Tuesday on Telegram, and again tomorrow night for Magic Dicol Last Day Events News. Good night, everybody. Do take care, and pō marie.